Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Just read two verses. Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for your word once again. We pray you would speak to us from it. Help us to know the way in which we should walk, Lord, that we may be true followers of you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we've been looking at, of course, the last several months, we know that God has a way for us to walk in as his people. That it's a different way from the world around us, a different way from the way we lived before we came to Christ. And it is a new and a living way, a higher way. And so we want to learn that. And we've looked at that lately. We've thought of the idea of how we are, as Christians, we are now to walk by faith rather than by sight. That before we evaluated things, we made decisions based on what was seen, on what we could grasp, on, and we focused so much on the material and the temporal. But God wants us to instead have eyes of faith, to focus on what is spiritual, what's eternal, and so that we would evaluate our lives differently and live differently as a result. We looked at the last several weeks on the whole idea of walking in the Spirit rather than walking in the flesh, that we are very used to the whole principle of walking in the flesh, just trying to either indulging the flesh or trying to fight against the flesh and usually not winning. But God wants us to live a different way, where the Spirit is guiding us, the Spirit is directing our lives, and we have the fruit of the Spirit starting to be produced. It isn't us trying our best to be good, it's God bring his goodness out through us. And so we want to learn of that. And so today we want to consider another thought, a thought that we find encapsulated here in Ephesians chapter 5. And it's this thought that we are to, of course, be followers of God. And it says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us." And when we want to think about this, we realize immediately there is much to challenge and inspire us to do so in the Scriptures. We recognize when we think of love and how it's used throughout the Scriptures, we see, first of all, that really the basis of all of God's commands have to do with love. Jesus had someone question him of what was the greatest command in the law, and as his manner was, he usually didn't give them the answer they hoped for, but he gave them the answer that they needed. We see in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, he says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And so we think of it as that as we seek to fulfill God's will, God's word, God's command, it hangs on that principle of love, of loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind, loving our neighbor as ourselves. That's what, if we're to be obedient, we know that that's, love has to be a big part of that. And so we want to learn to walk in love. Secondly, we recognize too, and as we looked at last week, that love is one of the fruit of the Spirit that we want to exhibit. That we want to have that coming out as a sign that we are walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. We think of what it speaks of in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, where it says, let's read it here quickly. It says, "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." And so, being indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, we want him to show his, to shed abroad his love in our hearts so that then we can learn to love others. And so we want that. And we are challenged to have that as be more a part of our life. As well, we realize that this idea of to loving one another and to walk in love, really that's the example that Christ left for us, and it was the command that he gave. We see in John chapter 15 where Jesus says these words, beginning in verse number 12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And so he gave them this commandment, and he set the example because he was the one who was willing to give his life for them to show his love for them. And so he calls upon us to do the same. We think of what Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 2 and verse 20. Says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And so that's how we want to live. We want to live in accordance to that one who showed love to us. We want to walk in that same love as he did. We recognize too that more than anything, God puts a finger on the idea that loving and walking in love really defines us and declares us to be his people. We see in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, it says, "A new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." That we can try to say that we're his disciples based on various different principles, but Jesus himself says that it's if we have love one another, that's how all people will know that we're God's disciples of Jesus. We recognize as well from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that nothing that we do is of any true value unless love is a part of that. It speaks of that in the first three verses of 1 Corinthians 13. It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity," of course, which we understand to be love, it says, "I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." And so we realize that if we don't have love, if we're not operating in love, then we can do a great many things that we look at as being commendable, but in God's eyes they're not truly of value. And finally, we recognize from 1 John chapter 4 that love is truly the essence of who God is. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." And so we see that God is love, that he defines himself as such, that the love that he demonstrated by sending his Son to die for us makes it very clear. And so we realize with all these different things, if we are going to live a life in obedience to God, if we're going to be Spirit-led and be bearing fruit from the Spirit, if we're truly a follower of Jesus Christ, and if we want what we do to be of true eternal value, and if we want to truly become like God as we are supposed to, then we know that walking in love has to become part of the equation, that more and more needs to define our lives, and the way that we conduct ourselves is in love. But as we consider this, we realize that love is a concept that we struggle to truly grasp. That, and especially this idea of loving as God loves us. Because we realize that God's ways are not our ways. His ways are always higher than ours. And as we really get into the scriptures and God uses his word to show our hearts, show us his standard and what he wants from us, we come to recognize that we have really neither the understanding nor the capacity in ourselves to love as God loves. And we think of that with all the commands of God that as we looked at her, the principle behind them is if we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, if we love our neighbor as ourselves, we're going to be fulfilling those commandments. But we know that as we look at the Ten Commandments that a lot of times in all of them that we've broken them in one way or another, maybe not in deed, but perhaps in desire and thought. And we realize all those times that we've disobeyed God's commands, it is a sign of a lack of love that we have, either to God or to our fellow man. That when we don't put God first, that we may say we love God, but when we love other things more than God, that we realize that there's a problem. And actually we understand that it speaks in the Bible of those that are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And we could say in many ways our whole society would certainly fit in with that description. But when we mistreat others, when we don't tell the truth, when we steal from someone, or anything like that, it's where we're focused on ourselves, getting what we want, and being willing to trample over someone in order to get what we want. And so we realize that there's something that it's our society is not governed by principles of love. They're governed more by principles of selfishness and self-focus. And as well, we consider what Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 5, where he was trying to lay things out in the Sermon on the Mount to his disciples of what God was calling them to. And he says, beginning in verse 43, he says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." And we recognize that it's easy for us to love someone when we get love back in return. But when we try to show love and someone responds with hatred and evil against us, our tendency is always to withdraw our love and say, that person did this thing to me that was awful and cruel, and so I am not going to love them anymore. But God says, no, if someone hates you, if someone curses you out, if someone causes even physical harm to your person, God says you're still supposed to love them. And it's so that you can be truly the children of your Father which is in heaven, because he loves those that may never return his love. He extends his grace to them and offers his salvation to them if they would repent and trust in him as Savior. And that it's something very difficult for us to comprehend, but we realize that's what he's calling us to, is to be able to actually love our enemies, love those that hate us, love those that may slander and abuse us. And And so we realize God's ways and definitely God's love is way higher than ours. And so we want to learn of Him. We know that we need to learn from Him. And honestly, when we really look nowadays at the world's concept of love, we would say it to be entirely corrupted. That much of what the world calls love today has much more to do with lust than it does with love. And as well, we see love in many ways defined really as this toleration and acceptance and even promotion of things that God declares to be abominable. And there's something wrong with that, that we realize that as Christians we need to speak the truth in love, and that sometimes there's people that don't want to hear the truth, but they need to. And just trying to give them this toleration and acceptance is not helping them and giving them the help that they need. There's hard truths that they may need to hear, and we need to be willing to share them with them in the hopes that they can come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we realize that, because if we allow someone to continue down a path that we know is self-destructive, we're not showing love to them by not saying anything. There's something that we have to do, something that we have to step in. And so we realize that there's so much in our world today that we have to filter through and filter out, because what the world views as love is a far cry from what God views love to be. And truly, we live in a world that is selfish and self-focused and self-absorbed. And so many times we recognize how people can be completely oblivious to the needs and the sufferings of others. And if someone is suffering, what some people may do is they might just decide, well, I'll throw some money at the problem. But they never actually want to take the time themselves to personally meet that person's need. And so we want to realize that the way that this world is walking is not the way God wants us to walk. And so we have to learn of Him. We have to learn to walk in love as He loved us, as He defines it, as He lays it out to us in His scriptures of how He wants us to live. And so we realize that in this idea of walking in love, it is God that sets the standard, God that defines what love is. And we really see that love is forever declared and defined by what Jesus did for us on the cross, where God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That He was willing to sacrifice His Son, and that Lord Jesus was willing to give His life for us to give us the deliverance that we needed from our sin. And so that is why we see it say there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, where it says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us." That we don't set the standard where we just love as everyone else loves, love as much as I feel that we love, as Christ also hath loved us. And that's what Jesus said to His disciples, that He commanded them that they would love one another as I have loved you. And we see in Ephesians chapter 5 that same principle when it says, "Husbands, love your wives," but it doesn't stop there. It says, "Even as Christ also loved the church," that He gives Christ as being the standard for our love, what we are to seek to attain unto. And so, if we're looking for a passage in the scriptures where it really speaks in terms of defining and declaring what love is, we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we see in verses 4 to 8 these words. It says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. And so as we read that, it's something that we can, it's very easy to do this, in the sense, because we see here, as this love is spoken of, that what is described here is how God loves us. And so you can think of it almost as like an equation, where we see this given, that love equals all these different things written in verses 4 to 8. But then we also know from First John 4 that God is love. So if God equals love, and love equals all these things listed here, we can really recognize that God equals all of these things here. And so as we see the word charity, we can instead insert God in there and recognize that everything that is written here is certainly true of God, because He is love. Now we think first of all of how it says charity suffereth long. We know that God suffereth long. That God, we think of that, of that is why He has not returned, is because He's long suffering. Us who are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We read in Lamentations chapter 3 of how it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And we can recognize in our own lives of God's long suffering to us, of how where we do wrong again and again, we ask for forgiveness and then we go back and do the same thing again. Or He's trying to push us and challenge us to do something, and we keep saying no. And really, He should in many ways give up on us. He should cast us aside. He should bring judgment upon us. But yet He continues to show mercy. He continues to show compassion to us. And we're so thankful for that. We recognize how charity suffereth long is kind, that God is kind to us, that He shows His loving kindnesses to us each day, of just little things and big things that He does, and just how His goodness is so great to us in life. We recognize that He envies not, He just bought Himself or puffed Himself up, that God, God, we think of the Lord Jesus, of how He was, that He wasn't one that sought His own. We think of how it says in Matthew 20, verse 28, that the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many, of how He showed a humility in His life. We saw how Jesus, even though there was great provocation against Him, that He was not easily provoked. That when He was on this earth, He did not rejoice in iniquity, He rejoiced in the truth. And how He bore all those things on the cross for us. And how He endured all those things on our behalf. And as we read in verse 8, charity never faileth, that we can greatly testify that God never fails. And a songwriter has written the hymn, Jesus Never Fails, as well, that we can testify to those things all being true, that He does not fail, He never fails, that God is love, and then all these things speak of Him. But then we recognize, if we are to be like God, if we are to be conformed to the image of Christ, if we are to walk in God's paths, we realize what describes love and what describes God should also therefore describe us. And so when we look at this, where it says charity suffereth long, then that means for each of us that we need to learn to suffer long. And so that means that we're willing to endure frustrations and disappointments and discouragements for the sake of someone that we love, that we're willing to put up with different things from our brothers or sisters in Christ, from lost people around us, that we're willing to suffer long for the sake of others, just as Jesus and God the Father suffered long for us. That that we need to be kind, that we're seeking to be actively benevolent in other people's lives. We want to be zealous of good works, seeing how can I help someone. We think that we don't puff ourselves up. We don't try to promote ourselves. We're instead thinking of others. That we conduct ourselves properly. We don't behave ourselves unseemly. We're not seeking our own. We're seeking the things of Christ. We're seeking the things of others. And we recognize the tendency. We read at it in Philippians chapter chapter 2, where Paul speaks of Timothy, and he's commending him, and that he said, I have no man like mine who will naturally care for your state. He says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. And we recognize that is the way of this world. Everybody's seeking their own thing, seeking to advance their own agenda, seeking to put their name forward and advance their career, whatever it might be. But we want to realize we don't seek our own. We seek the things of Jesus. We seek the other people's benefit, not our own. We learn not to be easily provoked, that we learn to be patient. We learn to not let things bother us. That and many times someone transgresses against us, that we learn to defer our anger and pass over the transgression that has happened against us. That we do not have any enjoyment of sin or iniquity. We rejoice in the truth and we stand for the truth and we're willing to speak the truth in love, even though it may not be popular, even though it may not be well received. And we're willing to bear and endure all things. We believe all things. We give people the benefit of the doubt. That and just as charity never faileth and as God never fails, so we want to be someone that people know that they can count on. That we will be there for them when they need us, and that we will come through when we're needed the most. And so that is what we desire to do, and that is the walk that God wants us to have as His people. that we realize that as He shows the example to us, that we want to learn of His ways so that we can walk in His paths. And as we think of God's love, we realize that our love needs to become something that doesn't waver and flicker depending on how it's received, depending on what our mood is. We realize that more and more it needs to become a constant. That we think of what God spoke to His people in Jeremiah 31 verse 3. He says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That God's love is everlasting, that His love is always the same. It doesn't fluctuate with how people treat Him or mistreat Him or disregard Him. God cannot love any of us any more than He does or any less than He already does. That His love stays the same. And so that's what we want to learn to do. That we love people, and even if they don't respond, even if they respond in a cruel way towards us, we still have that love for them, that we want to help them. But then as well, and I think this is critically important for us to understand, is that our love needs to always be seen in action and not just in words. We see this in 1 John chapter 3 and verses 16 to 18. Where it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And so we see from this passage just the thought of God's love that we understand because He laid down His life for us, and so we're to have that same love. And we want to walk in His ways, and we're not to be so self-focused in our lives that we don't see the world around us and the need that it has. We want to see the world instead as God sees it and seek to help people. Because we realize that the world around us is a world that is full of sorrow and pain and suffering. That there's lives that have been wrecked by sin. Some has been their own sin, some has been the sins of others that have come and just brought destruction and sorrow and sadness to their lives. And some we would say the destruction and the sorrow they brought it on themselves. And that can be true, but what we realize is that if they're staying in that situation, that they're going to have a life of misery and an eternity of torment. And so we want to realize that that we have to love enough to desire to do something about it when someone's struggling, someone's suffering, someone's needing help. Because we think of what God did for us, that He saw the world, He saw a world that rebelled against Him and was destroying itself by its sin, and He could have walked away and just ignored the mess that we made and started over on another planet somewhere else in the universe. But instead, He was moved enough with compassion. He so loved the world that He sent His Son to die for us. And we think of the Lord Jesus, of just the great love that He had, that He showed on earth, that while He was with the multitudes, He saw them and He was moved with compassion because they were sheep having no shepherd, and He began to teach them many things. That He gave them food when everyone else wanted to send them away. That even though there was these multitudes coming and it was late, that He took the time to heal everyone. And we recognize as well His sacrifice on the cross, of how He was willing to do that for us, even in the midst of that, where we had those that were speaking against Him and mocking Him. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Where, because He had love, that He stepped into history and He did what was necessary so that all who trust in Him might have a hope and a possibility of coming to forgiveness and cleansing and deliverance from the penalty and the power of sin in their lives. And we realize even today that God is continuing to work in this world, continuing to work in hearts to bring them unto Himself. And that's why He's given us that great commission, that He wants His people to go and tell those that have never heard, so everyone can have the opportunity to come to Christ as Savior. And so for us, if we are to be truly the children of God, if we're to be the followers of Christ, then we realize that out of a love for this world, God is sending us into this world to proclaim His love and His salvation. And so we need to become like Him. We want to see things as He does. We want to see the multitudes and be moved with compassion. If we know people that are struggling with sin or destroying their lives and the lives of their families by sin, that it's not something that we shut up our bowels of compassion. It's not something that, as in the story of the Good Samaritan, that we go pass by the other side and expect someone else is going to help this person. That we say, no, this person needs help. God's put me in this person's life. There's something that I can do to help this person. And we seek God's strength, we seek God's power, and we say, what can I do? How can I help this person? And God gives us what we need. Because we know that God loves that person far more than we do, and He wants to have us be His hands to help that person, to minister to their needs. And so we need to learn to turn our love not into just a feeling, but into action, where our compassion moves us to seek to make a difference, to do what we can, to do whatever we can to help. And so may we as His people learn to walk in His ways. And since He is a God of love and has demonstrated His love time and again, may we learn to walk in His love and to be moved enough to put our love into action each day to help those that suffer all around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your word. We just thank You for Your great love to us, Lord, that You showed while we were yet sinners, while we were enemies to You. And Lord, we just pray You would help us to walk in Your ways, help us to love our enemies, help us to pray for those that are disagreeable, even hurtful to us. And Lord, just help us to, each of us, Lord, to be willing to step forward, to allow Your love and Your compassion that Your Holy Spirit is shedding abroad in our hearts to motivate us to make a difference in this present day, in this community. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's all stand. We'll turn to one last hymn, number 432.